It's one of the deepest longings of our hearts, to love and to be loved. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll continues our verse-by-verse study in 1 John. It's a 16-part series we're calling Living Right in a Wrong World. And today, we've come to a portion of this letter, the fourth chapter of 1 John, where we find a defining treatment on the subject of love. Chuck Swindoll has titled today's message, The Supreme Significance of Love. Just before we hear Chuck's presentation, we begin with prayer.
Join me, please, for a few moments of prayer. Speak today, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. And by grace, we'll stand on your promises. And by faith, we will walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. We long to be so different, our Father, but we seem to spend our lives spinning our wheels. We desire so much to honor you, but we look back over a week and what we remember are those things we did that dishonored you. Words said in haste that we would love to be able to take back but can't. Thoughts that were vile, alien, foreign to our faith, but there they are. And sometimes they haunt us. We find ourselves assembled with others in this place, having read what we did from your holy word, and we're already, even without a sermon, we're already convicted. We do acknowledge that you loved us first, otherwise we would have never learned how to do it. Oh, we've learned to like people, but we couldn't love them without your help. Thank you for continuing patiently and faithfully fashioning us and shaping us into the likeness of your Son. Thank you that you never stop. You never give up on us. You never quit. It's a dark and dangerous world out there. And we've lived long enough in this life to know just how treacherous it can be. There are terrorists who would not stop at anything. There are hateful women and men who would take advantage of even the young, even children. There are those who have lost their way, and in the midst of their lostness, they make a mess of their lives and of so many around them. And there are Christians who are carnal. There are believers who are stubborn, and we continue to live on. Sometimes that's us, Father, and we come to you today counting on you to hear us when we lay our lives before you. Bring us face to face with the reality of the cross. The cross, where we first saw the light. May we remember while there that the supreme price was paid that we might live in you and you might live in us. We'll spend the rest of our days thanking you for Jesus. And today we do that again. We speak for those women and men in uniform who cannot be here today to speak for themselves. Provide protection in those dangerous places. Give us, Lord, ultimate victory and relief from the ravages of war and the savages who would slaughter us. Calm us today, our Father, with the truth that there is no power greater than love. May we see that not as sentimentality, but as truth to live by. May it make a difference this week, this day. These gifts are yours, and we give them gratefully and generously. And we pray that you will use them and guide us to watch over these funds with great integrity, that they might be used only for purposes for which they are given. In the name of Jesus, whom we love, we pray. Everyone said, amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called The Supreme Significance of Love.
So John brings it up again. He's brought it up in chapter 2. He brings it in chapter 3 and now chapter 4. Believe it. He says it three times. Three times. Verse 7, beloved, let us love one another. And before the ink is dry, verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And at the stroke of a pen, just before he's finished with that thought, he thinks of one more time in verse 12, if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Over and over and over, he repeats the command, love one another, love one another, love one another. You love her. You love him. Be sure you don't overlook loving her, loving that little one, loving the older one, loving the person whom you know very little about, letting the love go, letting it show. Let it go. In fact, the way he writes it, it's keep on loving one another. So John says, we've looked closely at testing the spirits and being alert to error and heresy. Now let me come back to the balance. We all need to hear, love each other. See, when you're testing all the time, you become testy. So he says, let's love each other. Watch how it unfolds. He gives us three reasons why we should do this. First is a theological reason. Second is a reciprocal reason. Third is a practical reason. The theological reason is verses 7 to 10. The reciprocal reason is in verse 11, and the practical is in verse 12. Look at the theological. Why should I love you, or why should you love me? Well, verse 7, because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's his nature. That's the essence of his person. That's one of his attributes, one of his characteristics. And when you are in God and God is in you, then the same life in God pours out through you. His love flows out through you, and that love of God is revealed. It's in his nature, and since that's true, it's to be lived out through us. Look at verse 9. By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God. That wasn't first. We weren't born telling God how much we love him. We were born as rebels. We grew up as rebels. We got to the teenage years and our rebellion turned to craziness. And in our craziness, we distanced ourselves further and further. And finally, in our adulthood, who needs God? Unless, of course, somewhere along the line, the message of the gospel invades us and impacts us and changes us. And suddenly we're under the shadow of the cross. And that changes everything. Verse 10, and this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the satisfaction for our sins. There's a theological reason. It shows forth the nature of God when you love one another. There's a reciprocal reason. It's, turnabouts is fair play. It's a cheap way to put it, but he loved us, so we love others. Look at verse 11. If God so loved us, what? We ought also to love one another. Remember Jesus' words in the upper room when chapter 13 of John's gospel, John records it where Jesus puts a towel around his waist and gets a basin and water and he washes the disciples' feet. Remember that scene? Of course you do. And he gets all the way through washing their feet and he says to them, you see what I've done? And obviously they saw what he had done. He said, I do this so that you would wash one another's feet. We would stand in line to wash his feet. But it's reciprocal when we do to others as he has done to us. And that's where the love fits. Let me give you a tip. Anytime you encounter a person with a spirit of entitlement, you have met up with an individual you can be sure who has either never been to the cross or has forgotten the impact of the cross. When the message of the cross finally comes through, you are not important. Christ is. You question that? Luke chapter 9, verse 23, if anyone will come after me, listen, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, follow me. You know what happens when we do that? Love flows freely. Love doesn't flow freely when we're the ones that are important. That's where we get a spirit of entitlement. I've got this coming. I deserve this. I've earned this. This is mine. It's only right. At the foot of the cross, I see the one who died and paid the supreme price for my sins, and I'm reduced to nothing but someone covered in that blood, forgiven. Loved by him. As he loved me, I am to love others. Then there's a practical reason. No one has seen God at any time. Now stay with the thought. Out of the blue, John introduces this. Isn't that interesting? He's talked about a theological reason, 7 to 10. He's talked about a reciprocal reason, verse 11. Now he says, no one has seen God at any time. What? Why would he say that? Keep reading. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us, brought to completion, brought to full circle. Since no one has seen God at any time, the only evidence of God on this earth that's left is your love and mine. Think about it. Since we cannot see God, who is a spirit, he has chosen to abide in us and to work out his will through us and in the process to change us to be like his son. And when he does that, we become, for those who've never met the true, living, loving God, we become for them the message of the living, loving God. Let me tell you, I cannot name an individual who was drawn to Christ apart from someone else. Somebody was living the Christian life. Somebody was different. Somebody was loving them. Somebody cared for them. They can't see God, but they can certainly see us. And by the way, the world is watching. Last time I checked, they were able to see those little symbols on the back of a car. that some of you choose to put on your car. I never put them on my truck, but some of you choose to do so. Here's a lesson for you who have things on your car. A man was being tailgated by a stressed out woman on a busy boulevard. Suddenly the light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. Huh, the tailgating woman was furious, honked her horn, screaming in frustration. She missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window, looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. Officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell, opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said to her, "I'm very sorry for the mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, cussing a blue streak. And I noticed on the bumper, oh, what would Jesus do? Sticker. And the Choose Life license plate holder. And follow me to Sunday school on the other side of the bumper sticker. And even the chrome plated Christian fish emblem on your trunk. Naturally, I assume you'd stolen the car." We live our lives before a watching world. Don't think they don't know. As soon as you identify yourself as a follower of Jesus, at that moment, you don't need anything on your car. You're being watched. And it isn't the things that you do that are like them. They see that all the time. And they can't change. It's that they see something different. They see an individual who is loving enough to ask forgiveness when you've done something wrong, or loving enough to be patient when someone can't keep up, or having a heart of compassion for the disabled or the broken, or the kid that's just so confused he just do nothing but cover his body with tattoos, trying to find out who he is and what life's about. What does he need? A lecture? No, he's getting that. They need love. They need to know that the cross had a reason, and it's changed your life so that you're no longer in the spotlight. It's not about you. You stop looking out for your own self and just graciously and consistently, when you drive, when you walk, when you talk, when you're with folks in the office, when you're around the house, when you're by your neighbor, just let the love go. Just, Lord, just love your, may your Son love through me. Help me to see beyond the silly stuff, the superficial stuff. Help me to see them like you saw me when you saved me. Help me to see their soul. Not all of them have a boy that they just found out has leukemia, but they got a heartbreaking situation you and I would hardly believe. Somehow a believer who is sensitive with this kind of love is enabled to understand that. How? What is this divine enablement that we're given? Look closely. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Oh, look at that. God has given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us his person. When you trusted in Christ, when you came to the cross by faith in his Son, Jesus, God gave us the third member of the Trinity, to live inside us. That's why the Bible is beginning to make sense. The Spirit of God is enlightening you, illumining you. That's why you're finding there is a place for control in your life. The Spirit of God is controlling you. He has given us His Spirit. We have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now that we can testify of it, because we've been given the Spirit, and whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God, we have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. He says it again, God is love. And the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Over and over he says it till it's almost like a tongue twister. Abides in us, and we in him, and he in us, and his love in us, and our love out through him. And the Spirit is the on and on until we, it's like John is saying, would you get it? When will we ever get it? This enablement is provided so that, my goodness, he'll never leave us. You'll never be abandoned. No matter how low you sink as a child of God, he'll never write you off. How do I know that? Because he's given us his Spirit. He can't take his presence out of us now that he's in. So let me give you a couple of nevers. A couple of nevers here. One, you never have to worry about being abandoned or ignored or forgotten or cast out, ever. You'll never be cast aside, ever. Isn't that great? He'll never turn his back on you. Let me tell you who will. Someone who used to be a friend will no longer be a friend for whatever reason. Friends can turn their backs. A coach you once had that acted like he was committed to you forever, and then you got hurt, and then somebody 2 years later couldn't remember your name, he won't remember. Maybe even a mentor for a series of events occurs. Perhaps a teacher that you thought would never forget you can't even recall your name today. May I add, even your own mother or father? You say, Chuck, that's going a little too far. Really? Look at Isaiah 49. Will you do that? Isaiah 49. I'm going to tell you something that's going to really surprise you in a minute. Right out of this section of Scripture in Isaiah 49. Love these verses. Verse 14. Got it, everybody? 49:14. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Zion is Jerusalem. Zion is the people of the Jews. They're going through this horrendous time. They deserve it. Consequences for their sins. When you go through consequences, it's harsh, it's hard, but you tend to think God's forgotten us. He's gone forever. Look at the condition we find ourselves in. Then Isaiah answers, or the Lord does, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your ways are continually before me.
It's overwhelming to think that God could have our names written on the palms of His hands as an expression of our inseparable relationship with Him. You're listening to Insight for Living. Chuck Swindoll titled his message, The Supreme Significance of Love. And to learn more about the ministry of Insight for Living, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Even though this teaching series was originally delivered several years ago, Chuck specifically wanted to present this study in 1 John right now. It shows the timeless relevance of God's Word. These biblical principles provide the cure for a culture that's at war with itself, where rage and anger seem to be overshadowing the underlying threat of the global pandemic. In that spirit, we're pleased to freely offer a powerful two-part mini-series called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. While not specifically addressing the pandemic, Chunk gets at the root cause and the solution for the chaos in our culture. In his first message, Chuck talks about clearing away the trash we regret. And in his second message, he describes the power of forgiveness. In addition, Chuck's wife, Cynthia, shares her gripping story about restoring broken relationships and her recovery from a long battle with depression. We invite you to download these two messages today by visiting our website. Simply go to insight.org/findhealing. And if you have any questions, you can call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Perhaps it goes without saying that the coronavirus has imposed financial challenges on us all, including this nonprofit ministry. And we're asking every listener to participate by giving a generous gift. To support this ministry with a donation, call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. You can also give generously online at insight.org. And then finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church every Sunday morning. For all the details on streaming the video, go to insight.org/Sundays. Chuck Swindoll again talks about the supreme significance of love Monday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Supreme Significance of Love, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.